Recently, in a column I wrote, warning against socialism, I said this, quote, New York City Mayor-elect Mamdani sees big government as the solution. He said, we will prove that there's no problem too large for government to solve and no concern too small for it to care about. Instead, I agree with President Reagan, who viewed government as often to be the problem, not the solution to problems. Our 40th president said the scariest words ever to hear are, hello, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help, end quote from Reagan. Well, is government the solution or the problem, or is there a position in between? Dr. Gregory P. Seltz is the Speaker Emeritus of the Lutheran Hour. He serves as the Executive Director of the Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty in Washington, D.C. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Dr. Seltz joins us to talk about, well, is government the solution or is government the problem? Or, again, something in between. Greg, great to have you back on the program.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks again for having me on, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, so you've got an office there in Washington, D.C. to kind of bear a Christian light and witness to the people in Washington, D.C. Not that they need it or anything, but but there are some people who view government as, you know, that government is the answer to everything, you know?
Well, but the problem is again, there's a very, the founding fathers got two things right. They got obviously that our rights come from God, and so therefore every human being stands before government with inalienable rights. But the second thing they also got right was human anthropology, which is human beings are not by nature, because God didn't create us sinful, but because we had so perpetuated sin, it's literally indigenous now to our nature. And they got that correct. The problem with people like Mamdani, they don't believe that. A lot of our young people today don't believe that. They believe human beings are by nature good, and that's the structures that are wrong. So if you get a good structure, then we'll just do good things. It's never going to work because the human heart is the problem. And so you're defying basic theological and practical and philosophical realities with this idea that government will solve it. And so just replace the word government with God in Mamdani's statement, and you've got the two views about how things can ultimately be solved.
So just spell that out for us.
Well, I mean, when he says there's no problem that government, you just say that God cannot handle, and there's no care or concern so small that God isn't concerned. Yeah. So when it comes down to ultimate salvation, it's a God thing. The modern secularist who doesn't believe there is a God, and I'm not going to get into his theology here because that's a whole nother discussion. But the reality is the idea, the secular statist idea is that God is dead. We don't need him because now we can solve it. And it's a radical demarcation from the wisdom that was given to us even through the founding fathers and constitutional limited government, that human beings' hearts are the problem. And so, you know, you have to have a changed heart to actually live an ordered, free life. And that's one of the reasons why we don't look to the government, which coercively makes us do things. We're not going to give sinners that kind of power over us. So that's, again, that's the wisdom, the culminated wisdom of thousands of years, and we're jettisoning that as if we're smarter than them.
You know, it's so interesting. As we're doing this interview, I can see you, and behind you, you've got that looks like the Declaration of Independence on the left and the Constitution on the right. What's so interesting, you were talking about the two things that the founding fathers got right was the fact that human beings are endowed by our Creator, because we have the image of God. That's the Declaration of Independence. Then the other thing they got right was the sinfulness and the shortcomings of man. That's found repeatedly in the Constitution. Therefore, divide power very, very carefully. So the Declaration and the Constitution, we're gifted as Americans to have those as our foundational, documents.
And that's the point. I mean, because when it comes to salvation talk, and that's what a lot of these politicians do, if politicians were just about making sure all hell didn't break loose on this side of heaven, then yeah, I'd vote for them. They're like the referees, and I want a good referee. I want someone to call balls and strikes the same for everybody because I want the game to be as fair as possible. They don't talk like that anymore. They talk about we're the Messiah. We're the salvation. I mean, everything's going to change if you vote for me. Isn't it interesting? They said, no kings, no kings. And yet they went and tried to vote a king into New York that's going to solve everybody's problems. The problem is they're defying truths that just, and so you cannot change human nature just by your will. And so there are two great statements. You just pointed out the two great statements of the founding of this country. And what they didn't say was that the government was the John 3:16 agency. The greatest statement of all is that God sent his son to redeem and restore the world. You know, that's the greatest statement. And that has nothing to do with government. So the founders got the two ideas right about what kind of government we should have, limited in nature. And they also then said, and the salvation talk, that's going to come from someplace else. That's coming from the church. That's coming from God. That's coming from a free relationship with him. They got the tension of all that stuff right, which is an amazing thing, because power hungry people usually don't give up their power.
What's scary though is when some people want to have us defy our government, and ultimately what they can end up doing is tearing it all down, and then you end up with, you know, like French Revolution or something, or the Communist Revolution, which always ends up in bloodshed and chaos and so forth. And so I think this foundation we have in America is very strong, but it's tattered. And it's, people are trying to beat it down and so forth, but it's worthy of saving.
Well, and you have to understand, you have to think two ways. And I think this is the hardest part for Christians. It's that God works two ways in the world. One way is to preserve it. And he does that even through Caesar. Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But then he also talks about to Pilate, he says, you only have the authority that's been given from me above. And then Romans 13 defines that authority. So that's God's preserving work. And he actually works through Caesar, not through Christians, but through a decent Caesar. But then he works through his son to save the world. And then that's proclaimed to the church. So give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give God what is God's. So you have to think two different ways. That's what's hard for people. So preserving work is, you know, what are the consequences? What are the trade-offs? Because there's never a perfect solution. That's what we call left-hand kingdom work, or God's preserving work. Radically different is God's saving work, which he does 100%. It's one of those things you can know for sure, for certain, and it's about salvation, not just now, but forever. Those are two different things, and Christians sometimes conflate them too, which is why the communists always appeal to us, because they talk about benevolent government and Mother Russia, and we're going to care for you. Well, that's a ruse. I mean, that's a grift, because they can't and they won't. And the people who actually give their heart and soul over to people like Mamdani, they're going to find out pretty quickly. He's going to live well. You're not.
That's so true.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
there was a famous statement from around the founding era. It's been attributed to Jefferson, but I'm not sure if it is directly from him. But that government governs best which governs least. Is that a Christian view?
Well, I would say so. I mean, because you finally look, Jesus even says, put your sword away when he's talking about his kingdom. You know, so God has a role to play for Caesar. Cyrus the Persian in the Old Testament was God's anointed. We're not sure what that means, except that he was doing God's preserving work, because we don't think he was saved. We don't think he believed. So there's that sense. And then Romans 13 very clearly says it's to make sure the bad guy, government is to make sure the bad guy is scared and the good guy, you know, relatively lives in peace and safety. You know, his life is protected, his property is protected. If that's all you're looking for government to do, I'm on your side. I don't care what tradition you come from, but that's not going to save us. That's just going to allow us to live civilly in peace. The rest of it's on us. And that's where I think the founders got it right too. They said, it's up to you now to live a faith-motivated, self-governing life.
Okay, we often hear you can't legislate morality, and yet, isn't it true that all legislation represents somebody's morality? So the question is, whose morality? And so how do we as Christians process that idea, those ideas?
I think we gotta be more bold. We're not telling people they have to believe in Jesus. We're saying the Christian worldview is the worldview that undergirds the greatest amount of freedom ever given to humanity. The Christian moral worldview, some might call it the Judeo-Christian, the biblical worldview. I think the Ten Commandments is foundational. I mean, these are the kind of things that you can argue and demonstrate that this way of thinking provides a better outcome than that way of thinking. So I think that's not the same thing as saying you got to be a Christian, because a Christian is believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that's a free gift. We differentiate those discussions. See, that's what I'm saying. You have to think two different ways. Other people don't. Other people think the same way about government as they think about church, and we believe that's wrong.
Since the death of Charlie Kirk, a lot of people have been watching some of his videos. I've watched more of his videos since he died, to be quite frank.
Right.
And his brilliance in talking with people who totally disagreed with him, but his brilliance in kind of helping them think through what are the implications and what are the premises that their ideas are built upon. I think it was just wonderful. I'm so sad that he's been taken out of the public arena like this, and hopefully his ideas will continue and live on for years.
But see, the thing is, I was taught by a wonderful professor back at seminary days. He said, when you get your presuppositions correct, the rest of it, you just learn how to argue it out properly. If you get them wrong, and as I said before, the presuppositions are that you have inalienable rights because you're created by God, but you're also sinful, which is why we limit your access to power. I mean, in the sense that we don't just give people power. Those are presuppositional truths. That's why they said these are inalienable rights that are self-evident. Well, what's happening is the modern secularist says, no, they're not. We actually think the exact opposite of that. And I've even read people say it's the structures that are bad. So tear down all the structures, rebuild socialist structures, and human beings will live in peace and kindness and harmony. Except that not only is wrong, and it's you can see it's demonstrably wrong, but it's also arguing against what we know to be true presuppositionally. That's Kirk was great. He got his presuppositions right, and then he could apply that to many, many different things. And he did it brilliantly, of course.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too, but when you're talking about power and the way the founders felt, the fact that George Washington, the first president under the U.S. Constitution, the fact that his own men at one point, you know, when there was kind of some chaos before the Constitution was written and then accepted, there was some little bit of chaos going on, and so some of his men wanted him to become a king. And he said, I didn't fight one king to become a king. No. He pushed away power. That is so historic. That is such a gift to humanity and to us as Americans. And yet today, Greg, as you know, some people are tearing down or trying to tear down statues by George Washington.
Well, this chaos always demands coercion immediately because people don't want to live in chaos. And so this is what liberation theology does around the globe. This is what Marxism does. It creates chaos in the neighborhoods. And then somebody comes in and says, we'll lock it down for you. And you go, oh, thank you. Because the chaos is terrible, except then they take away all your rights. But the point is that Washington saw the longer game. The chaos was there, but he had to understand that we got to be careful with coercion here. And that's why I said when Jesus finally said, Peter did the same thing in the garden. He wanted to take his sword and defend Jesus. And Jesus said, put your sword away. The true kingdom, you know, the kingdom of ultimate freedom does not come through the sword of sinful humanity. So differentiating those, preserving things of God and saving things of God gives us a lot of wisdom. And I think Washington had that wisdom. He said, we'll get through this chaos, but we're not going to lock it down in such a way that we destroy freedom and humanity.
We have less than a minute to go. How about a concluding thought on terms of how can America celebrate America at 250 in a more godly way, you know, in the coming year?
Be thankful. You've got to start to understand there is no other place on the planet like this that gives you these kinds of liberties, but there are truths that undergird them. So get to know those truths, start to practice those truths, demonstrate it in your family, build out from family to church to community, and let government be as little a part of that process as you can. And you will find that America is a great place to be.
And Greg, where can people reach you as far as a website?
Yeah, they can go to lcrlfreedom.org. All the stuff that we've written and produced, it's all there, lcrlfreedom.org.
Okay, and that's the Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty in Washington, D.C. Dr. Gregory Seltz. Yeah, and you used to be the speaker on the Lutheran.
Speaker of the Lutheran. I still miss it.
Yeah, well, you do a great job. I really appreciate it. Okay, thank you now. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Gary. Take
okay,
care.
You too. Bye-bye.